Hello, Joe. This is Keegan. I was just calling to tell you that you are a good person, I am proud of you, and that I love you. That was it. Goodbye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, greetings, friends. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. If you're new here, what we do here is we offer metal-related diversions to help you throughout your commute or your day, or just to, you know, help ignore your loved ones, whatever. We interview artists, we talk about the news, we discuss the history of this genre you all know and love, and we make jokes, and we learn to love along the way. So if this is your first episode, thanks for joining us. If this is your 100th episode, thanks for sticking with us. If you like what we do here and you want to hear a little bit more, you can get bonus episodes up at our Patreon. That's patreon.com/toilet. It's something about Toilet of Hell. So just type that somewhere, you'll find it. Also, you know, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and rate and review us, and that helps somehow, I'm sure. And you should probably tell a friend if you enjoy this program, because, you know, we want your buddies to hear us too. I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, I've got my co-hosts, 365 Days of Horror and Brenicide. How's it going, fellas?
It's going phenomenal. I have a new friend. I met this guy. He was real cool.
Who's your new friend?
I don't know. Are you pouring one out for the homies?
You're pouring one for the homie Big Joe Thrash and
Big Joe here. I met this really cool guy the other day. You guys might know him. I don't know. I brought him with me on the show. His name's 365 Days of Horror. Man, the tag team. I don't know if people saw on Twitter, but we finally engaged in some brewing and some screwing.
We consummated the relationship.
That's right.
Cool.
We're now BFFs in IRL.
That's right.
Thanks for the invite, fellas. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, we thought about it, but, you know, we were only at we only like went out for dinner for like an hour, so I feel like a flight from Austin might have not been worth it.
And really, we filled most of that time with just shit talking you anyway.
That's right. Yeah.
Great.
Would have put a serious damper on that if you were there.
So, what was the occasion for meeting and greeting and rubbing palms?
So my band was in need of taking promo photos. Our label asked for some. And my guitarist actually lives in the next town over from where Breno lives. So I figured go up, make a day of it, and be able to figure it out and have a meal together. It was quite nice. I was able to get sprinkled with Breno fairy dust, and now everything is tastes better and life is sweeter.
Yeah, well, name drop your band, man. Come on.
Nah, it's all right.
This guy doesn't promote himself. We tried talking. I tried to talk about that with his other band members. He just won't. It's not on your Twitter. It's not on your. And the reason I know all this is because I was trying to fucking find out what it was to refresh my memory. And
people don't want to listen to it anyway. It's fine.
Come on. All right.
Yeah, I've had to edit this program when I mentioned his band in the past. It's like, hey, good show. Take that out before you publish it. So.
What?
Cool. Right. Very cool.
Leave it alone.
Actively kneecapping your own success. I like it.
It doesn't get any more cult, though.
With this style of music, we're not having any success anyway, so might as well just keep it separate.
So was it everything you hoped for? Was it satisfying, or were you disappointed to find out that like one of you guys smelled funny, or, you know, had a third arm or something like that?
It wasn't a catfish situation. We really are who we are. Personalities are the same. There wasn't any awkwardness. It was full-on bro hug to begin with. It worked out very nicely.
Yeah, I went in for a manly handshake, but he was like, no, you dumb bastard, come here.
Brothers hug!
Brothers, don't shake hands, brothers hug.
That's right. Sick. No, we had a great time, and I look forward to meeting you again, and hopefully Joe can come on up by, or we can go come on down, you know?
Yeah, it's just starting to get super hot here, so you guys should come on down and melt. It'll be fun.
Well, cool. It's been unnecessarily cold here, so sure.
Yeah. Monsoons of snow.
Well, All right, what did you guys eat, though? Where did you guys go?
I went to this place called Riff's because I thought that was the most appropriate.
Seriously?
It's my favorite restaurant. It's called Riff's, Riff's Joint, to be exact in East Hampton. It's out of this building called East Works, and East Works is kind of like an old dilapidated factory that they repurposed for, you know, random hipster businesses. Mm-hmm. And this is just one of those random hipster businesses, and it's been open for years because it's friggin' really good food. So I just kind of ordered my usual fare there, and we had a bunch of appetizers and beers and just hung out and shot the breeze. Good times.
Importantly, we had laughs.
Yeah. It's like a counter service place. Pretty casual. You just go up, order, and they bring you your food. And
what kind of fare does Riff's offer? Is it meaty Riff's? Is it veggie Riff's?
Bacon Riff's, mostly. Okay. As I found out, everything had bacon on it, and made Jordan's life a little more difficult than it had to be. But you know, we made it work, right? You got something tasty.
Yeah, yeah. I just, you know, made it clear, hey, don't put that on there. And they listen. Some places don't listen, which always makes me cautious. But it worked out. Food was good. Company was good. And, we'll have to do it again at some point.
This episode brought to you by Riff's Joint in East Hampton, Massachusetts. Come on down to fucking Riff's.
When they're gentrifying your neighborhood and raising your rents, you can always say, but the Riff's. So good.
If only we still had that abandoned warehouse.
Yeah.
Hope you guys caught my gentrified joke.
Oh, no, I missed it. I was busy trying to get my shitty but the Riff's joke.
All right.
So, obviously, we need to get to the most pressing thing that's happened in the last, I don't know, year, decade, century. I think you all know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about New Death Heaven.
Dude, I love the new track. I like it a lot. Honeycomb, it's a good song.
Yeah, Honeycomb, surprise song release today. Apparently, George Clark's and the Death Heavens are back at it again and putting out new material. They released this 11-minute song called Honeycomb, including a video of their home movies in the Bay Area. Altogether, very pleasant. That's the word I would take away from this.
Yeah, just a nice little track. And by little track, I mean 12 fucking minutes long. But, you know, a single's a single, I guess. A lot of people didn't like it. I don't know why. Probably because it was Death Heaven. But people just – there's like five bands that get spread around the internet like these things happen to get spread. And every single time they come up with anything, they get a ton of shit talk from the same kind of people. And one of them's Death Heaven. And the other one's Ghost. And both those bands released material very shortly ago. So – Ghost put out their new song probably a few days ago, and then it was definitely
Rats. Cool. Mirky should put out some new material too. We'll just compare notes. Everybody will get real mad. And it'll be fun.
I think the backlash comes from initially where these bands are just heaped with praise from sort of maybe more established metal publications, whether it's blogs or actual magazines, and I think it's just a natural reaction, specifically in the metal community, to just go, "Nah, I don't like this," because these places like it.
Especially Death Heaven gets repped by like the NPR set. So even though NPR has been doing like tons of big metal premieres over the last several years, like for some reason people are still pretty iffy about that, which
and those three bands that you mentioned, Death Heaven, Mercury, Ghost, are all like outsiders anyway in compared to the rest of the metal community.
They're outsiders kind of in the metal community, but they're aside from that very cool and attractive and popular people, which make them insiders in every other community.
I mean, if you said Kerry McCoy in the Death Heavens, I think we'd all beg to differ. Kerry McCoy, great guy. I'm sure he's a great guy.
But I didn't say Kerry McCoy. I said George Clark's and the Deaf Sevens.
But every time, I think the pictures of Kerry McCoy are what specifically got metal fans so mad at this band. I'll just leave it at that.
I don't know. What is the guy from Mobius from Absurd? In my mind, they look exactly the same. They're just like weird dorks with glasses, and one of them happens to be a Nazi, and the other one is just some guy that really likes Morrissey, who is also a Nazi.
True. Yeah. Transition to that Morrissey with
no.
With
we're not done here. We're not done here. I want to talk more about this. We've all listened to the new Deaf Heaven track, right?
Yes.
What are our opinions? What are our thoughts?
Well, I thought they had some pretty rad effects. Like, I think they went to a better studio this time. The production's pretty cool. So I think from their Instagram, they had like a real tape Space Echo that they were just taking pictures of, and I'm sure they used it. And that's, that's a cool effect to have on this album. So
from what I understand, I was watching an interview that auto played after the video, and they were saying that they had a little bit more time this time around to record than they did the last time. So I guess that might have something to do with it.
Right. When you got five songs every 3 years, guys, come on. It's Jesus.
What do you think, Jordan?
I thought it was fine. I have no problem with Deaf Heaven. Like, I don't care that they don't paint their faces and run around in the woods or anything like that. I've seen them live and they're very good. This song, I can definitely see why people would really like it. I think it's a little too long. I think 12 minutes is a little unnecessary, especially when like 7 minutes in, it just becomes an atmospheric instrumental song that, I could probably list off 5 or 6 bands that do the exact same thing and been doing it for a long time. Production-wise, I thought it sounded fine, other than the bass drum sounded really muffled, but maybe that's YouTube more than high-quality recording. I listen to a lot of atmospheric metal anyway, so it's kind of just like I feel like I've heard it before. Yeah. So maybe I'm not as enamored with it as some other people who don't normally listen to stuff like this.
I thought I disagree kind of on the – I thought the drums sounded really good, for lack of a better word. Big. They were bigger than a motherfucker, which I really appreciate.
I was going to say the snare was huge.
I'm just meaning the bass drum.
Okay.
Just specifically. Like, the double bass sounded real low.
That one microphone they had on the bass drum was bullshit. They just cut the corner right there.
I thought it was pleasant when it switches to a major key at like 4 minutes and 20 seconds in. It's very, very rad. The solo there is extremely nice. And then, kind of petered on for a little bit too long. Kind of sounded a lot like Explosions in the Sky, for the last 6 minutes of the song or so, which is fine. But I kind of got sick of Explosions in the Sky. Years and years and years ago, so hopefully the rest of the record will offer some more interesting twists and turns.
Now, do we know anything about this album, like anything else about it?
Oh, I did. I know no research, so no.
Yeah, I know that they had an Instagram photo with Chelsea Wolfe being featured on the album. So
she was in the video. She was in that video.
Was she? See, I didn't watch the video. I just played it and drove in my car. And,
same,
like, put
but
it on
I did look at the comments on YouTube as a quick primer, and people were like, oh hey, like at 10:20, there's Chelsea Wolfe.
Nice.
So I'll take some random asshole on YouTube's word for it.
Yeah, which is interesting because before Deaf Heaven dropped their album, I was like, clean singing, it's going to be on this one. So they're going to do, not that they didn't have it on their last one, but it was kind of just like spoken word for one song. But I thought this one was going to get some legit crooning, but it's a little different having some lady singer come in and do her thing.
Some
to kind of add to
that's a guest spot.
Some lady singer, some chick.
Some dame.
Some wonderful, talented person.
Yeah.
Who we should respect for the less.
We, on some early episode, I think we made the prediction that on the next record, Deaf Heaven would go full clean singing, and it looks like were wrong on this one, fucking or at least thus far into the one track we've heard from the record. But I will throw that prediction out there that on a future record they will, and when they do, they will sell like a bazillion records.
I mean, my predictions, they come true, but they're just a little bit off because I'm a little screwy. So it's like in my dreams I saw, Slipknot's going to break up. So I got the SL right. Slayer broke up, but I was so close. You know, I was like, it's got to be them. That's what it was. But no, you know, I always predict, but then get it just a little bit wrong.
It's like a monkey paw wish or something.
There you go.
Now, this song's called Honeycomb, and we don't know anything else about the rest of the album. So I'm going to start the rumor that this album is actually about cereals.
Yeah.
And we're going to get a song called Fruit Loops and Sugar Smacks and Frosted Flakes as well.
Frosted Flakes.
Golden Graham is the album, is the song of the year, in my opinion. It's
the name of the album is Cereal Killer. With the cereal with the C.
It's like green jelly.
They did that a long time ago.
I just knew it was a thing. I don't remember who.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it. I really liked the last one and the one before that. Thought those were pretty good. So,
yeah.
And I always like it when people get mad at this too. It's fun for me. I appreciate that people are still watching out for Sweet Lady Black Metal and defending her honor.
But shut the fuck up and have fun, you know.
I will actually turn this around a bit. You mentioned Ghosts. Have we all heard that new track now?
I have, yeah.
No, I haven't.
Okay. You didn't bother? You didn't think it was worth your time?
Well, I saw you shitposting about it today on Twitter, Breno.
I was. Yeah, that's what I do. Ghost has I have a weird relationship with Ghost in that I get it. I respect it, but I don't personally like it that much. So I have a really great time kind of shitting on them. And I wrote this post that just sounded like I was defending them because it was like I wrote it like 6 a.m. I didn't have my coffee. And some idiot posted this meme where I don't know, basically they were kicking Ghost off their doom metal playlist. And I was just pissed off about the fact that somebody called Ghost doom metal. And I tried to convey that, but I didn't do a very good job. So everybody was just like arguing with me, saying not only they're not doom metal, but that they're not even good. And so I was just looking like a guy who not only liked Ghost, but thought they were doom metal at the same time, which was so the opposite of my intention. So
a cell phone.
Yeah, but it got like 100 likes and like 8 reads. So I just have to roll with it now.
The only tweets I ever put up that get that much engagement are just when I'm replying to some clown, like with a lot of followers.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Anyway, I listened to it because saw some homies in the group chat were hyping it, and it was a Ghost song. I think what gets me about the band is I can't abide by Tobias, whatever, the Papa Emeritus or whatever. Tobias Forge. That guy. His vocals, they're so terribly flat, and that there's just not a whole lot of, I don't know, emotion behind them. It sounds hollow and reedy.
Yeah, well, the songs aren't emotional.
Yeah, back in the day when I talk shit, I call him like Pope Spooky Skelly. I talk so much shit. I think if there's one thing, it's definitely those vocals. They're just really high-pitched and really just grating, kind of. I don't know. But it matches what they do, and they're campy, and I get it. It's fun, and so I'm just – lately in life, I'm trying to chill out a bit on that. But I don't know. I'm trying to – not talk so much shit, but when I do, it's the subtle stupid ways with memes. So that's what happened on Twitter today.
Gotcha. Well, if you're not trying to talk shit, I don't know what we're doing this podcast for, man. We're
bye guys, yeah. It's been nice. This is my retirement, I'm saying.
R.I.P. Breno, he got soft.
Yeah, you fucking chuds.
Yeah, I don't kick it up a notch. Let's throw out some hot takes about the news and events of the day. Ghost. I noticed that lots of people like them. Well, they're all wrong. Every one of those people that likes them, you're wrong. How do you like that?
Idiot. Someone tweeted at me and said, like, I don't, you know what, fuck Ghost. You can't put corpse paint on Katy Perry and call it metal. And then I just okay. totally fucking subtweeted him. And I was like, man, metalheads, don't ever stop criticizing music with the last pop artist you heard about when you stepped out of your house once 9 years ago.
Oh, my God. Yeah, somebody in the Facebook crew is comparing that new Def Heaven track to Coldplay. And it's just like, same deal. It's, like, we don't...
it's fucking universal among metalheads. They just, for some reason, they always are like, why don't you go listen to Justin Bieber if you think Iron Maiden is so bad? And it's like, those are the only fucking options, man.
Yeah, we do not do a good job of keeping up with what is popular.
And Katy Perry's a bad example anyway, because she's done music with POD, so that's close enough.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But it's like, don't you fucking people go outside and walk past a radio once in a while?
Well, we covered that on our last bonus episode. Apparently I do, I just don't know what any of this shit is.
Oh, well. There's my answer. It's just we have to struggle to be the most out of touch online. We just have to look. It just we think it makes us look cool.
It's a point of pride to be like, I don't know what's popular.
I live under a rock because I rock.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of turning the corner, man. And I'm trying to be less in tune with everything and be more of like a suburban dad. I bought a whole bunch of dry fit polos at the store the other day. I'm ready to coach a little league team and just pretend that culture stopped in 2005.
I think angrily that's... tweeting at MSNBC hosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bunch of. My new favorite phrase is gammon, by the way. I thank everyone in the UK for introducing it to me. Because a gammon is like a pink faced, middle aged, angry, like Tory. So, because I guess gammon is like a pork product.
Okay. All right. I like that.
So it's my. Somebody just on Twitter was just like, shut up, you fucking gammon. I just looked it up. And the more I looked it up and the more it was described to me, the more I lost it.
And I just think of Peter Gammons, who's the sports writer.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
I think we have so much to learn from other cultures and verbiage and put downs. I posted about this horrible ad for it was a fanny pack, you know.
Yes.
Like you remember those from the 80s and 90s? Like you put things in them, you wear them around your waist. It was Herschel, the hipster like backpack company, is trying to rebrand them as a cross pack. Like you hang it across your chest, and it just looks like absolute shit. It's like, no, that's a fanny pack. And I had several people from the UK reply, no, that's a bum bag. because I thought about it for a half second, and it's like, oh yeah, well words are different there. So essentially, I would be saying that's a pussy pack. And I don't think that's.
You should have responded with you what, mate?
You what, mate? Yeah.
Limey. What is the oh fuck man? There was Danny DeVito in the tub with Mike Myers in the SNL skit.
Oh, and Simon. There was a Simon. My name is Simon, and I like to do drawings.
So and he said something about oregano, and Danny DeVito was like, "It's oregano, you limey freak."
Well, I think we should start appropriating certain British words into our own like lexicon. Like I'm all about calling people meat pies from now on.
Gammons. Is that like an insult or is that just a thing?
No, it's just they have them there, but we can make it an insult here.
Yeah. Right. It's pretty popular with the Australian crowd too. Apparently the Lassertilian and crew, they mentioned several times, like going to basically the 7-Eleven, buying this packaged meat product and like just eating it when you're wasted, which seems disgusting, but I lived for 6 months on 7-Eleven taquitos, so I guess I don't really have any room to speak.
Yeah. Right. No stance to take here.
It's meat within some kind of bread shell is the one food stuff that transcends every culture, I think.
Is it halal?
I guess it could be.
Or is Morrissey, you know, don't tell Morrissey, though.
So what was his beef with halal meats?
Because he's a fucking the thing about Morrissey is he's a vegan And usually when it comes to people who are like anti-animal slaughter and whatever, it's like, I think they're really annoying, but I know their intentions are good. So I usually just kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, and I don't take them on as much. And I don't give them as much shit as I used to in the day when I was a cynical piece of shit, or as much of a cynical piece of shit as I am now. But he's a vegan, but he's also a racist moron. So I get to hate him as much as I want to hate a vegan. And the fact that halal is it's like a method of preparing meat where you specifically slit the throat of the animal as it hangs upside down, I think. He didn't take kindly to that, so he ran his fucking mouth and just insulted every culture he could in like one breath.
I aside from like passing by a million halal shops, I honestly had no idea that was the preparation.
It's part of it. I think it's more to that, but it's
similar to kosher. There's a specific person who is trained to slaughter the animal.
Right.
They say a prayer. They slaughter in a specific way, and that's it. And okay. Morrissey said it had like something to do with ISIS. And
he's that's right.
He's just out of his mind, absurdly racist things, and just going through Twitter, seeing so many people go, "Well, I love the Smiths, but," and it's just like, you don't have to love them anymore. It's okay to not love them.
Very easy not to.
I paid a pretty stupid amount of money to see Morrissey about a decade ago with an ex-girlfriend. And it was awful. It was a terrible fucking show. I like the Smiths' music. I think Johnny Marr, cool dude, great guitarist. To this day, I think he's still a cool dude. He has nothing to do with all of Morrissey's shit. I'm pretty sure they hate the fuck out of each other, too.
Yeah. I wonder why.
He played one Smiths song the entire set. And it was by far their shittiest track, the song Meat is Murder.
Were people crying when you were at the show? Because I've heard that's a thing.
So, like, the guy on his last song, he takes off his shirt and shows off his shitty, middle-aged, doughy-ass, fucking white-ass, fucking UK body. And all these people are, like, throwing themselves at his feet and throwing roses and shit. And it's just like, this is pathetic. Like, I don't think anybody's actually feeling it. This is just, like, tradition. It's like if you go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show and, you like, somebody gives you a roll of tissue paper to throw at the screen, like, during a specific thing. Like, also, the Rocky Horror Picture Show fucking sucks. If you guys
sucks. Movie. It's fucking blows. I hate it. I hate it, and I hate anyone who likes it. I don't agree with a lot of things, believe it or not, that Seth Putnam thinks. You know, I just want to make that clear, but I think our hatred for the Smiths is pretty on par.
You remember Seth Putnam did do a Morrissey cover.
That's right. Yeah, no, I know, but he does it to make fun of. He hates the Smiths, and he mentions them a lot when he calls people gay. So,
yeah.
I don't call anybody who likes the Smiths gay, but, you know, I'm not a big fan of you. So, leave it at that. So no props to Seth Putnam again.
Some props.
Just a little props this time.
I don't know. I spend so much time shitting on Sweet Lady Black Metal and her penchant for, you know, harboring just vile racists and Nazis and fascists. And then I have to examine, like, well, I do own several Smiths records, and I do really enjoy Anal Kant. So maybe I need to... need to reconsider some of my own positions here. Of course, you know, I could never get behind any of the opinions that these guys have, and I'm certainly not going to buy any new Morrissey material. All that shit I bought before I was, you know, aware of what a piece of shit he was.
Yeah, man. I like Burzum's music a lot, but not that much.
Yeah.
It's just got to draw the line somewhere. And that's the thing, is you guys hate his music. You think his music sucks. So it's so easy for you to shit on him.
Oh, yeah.
Because and you're not fun. A fan. It's just a lot more fun that way. You know, it's just I think he probably made the only really cool original black metal albums back in the day. But then, you know, you got to think of who did it. So you just kind of get it spoils the milk for me. You know, that's all I'm saying. It's like an art versus artist separation thing. Who is the gentleman who wrote a really great article about that?
Was Snooty McWords, and you'll forgive me if because I've questioned myself about this so many times. I don't actually know who he is. Like
Snooty.
I don't know who the man behind Snooty McWords is, and I've thought about it a lot. And maybe you told me at some point, but I forgot, so I apologize, Snooty.
Just shout out Snooty. Reveal yourself. If the real Snooty can, please stand up.
I thought in his piece that he wrote this week, he really did a great job of getting down to kind of brass tacks and how you approach all of this from an ethical angle. And he didn't do what I do, which is to say, like, oh, this guy's a fucking piece of shit, and you're a fucking piece of shit for, like, supporting him. He's like, no, you need to consider all of your angles here.
Hit the brakes. Think about it, you know.
Like, here's your rubric for, like, is it, are you currently funding essentially somebody who would find approval with your dollars and with your likes on Facebook for his shit ass ways? Are you is this a current thing, or are we judging just by the standards of the past?
For sure, yeah.
Are these things that you're comfortable with doing yourself? Because I mean, like, every movement in consumption thing we consume, there's a lot of complex decisions at play, and sometimes we just choose to not think about it at all.
Yeah, you know, very smart guy. I'm very jealous of how smart he is. My favorite part of the article, not to cut you off, but was just how he made it very clear that when you give money and you give your listens and you give your time to an artist, it doesn't filter in any way. There's no, like, emoji that states, hey, love your music, but the murder wasn't cool. It's just they all see it as just one big pile of support, which I think is pretty critical when you're considering these things. It's like, you're regardless of whether or not you actually like the art and what's going on there, you have to consider who's receiving that support on the other end. You know, it's just a decision you have to kind of consider when you do this shit. So,
yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it ties into every little thing that you do. I mean, I know what goes on in factory farming, you know, and in industrial livestock produce and such. And I still ate a Chick-fil-A sandwich today.
That's right.
I felt bad about it later, but only after I greedily consumed the fucking thing.
Right. Yeah.
So. We're all hypocrites in a way, but we all gotta, I guess, try to consider what we do and do a little bit better. I don't know. What do you think, Jordan?
You know, you all make good points, and it depends on you and what you want to do. A while back, we talked about the Hell's Headbangers concert that they put on, or festival rather, that had Grand Belial's Key on it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, after hearing that, I have zero interest in giving any sort of money to Hell's Headbangers.
Like, that's fair.
You know, also because their podcast is horrendously bad. But nonetheless, like, they, at least for me, I saw them do that and I just don't want any part of it. I don't want to contribute money to them to book a band like that for next year.
Right. And even though they book good bands that you do like,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter. You know, it's like you could enjoy yourself if you just put aside what they did, but you know, you're taking a hard line here because they crossed your boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Toxic Holocaust played that festival too, and I like them, but I am not gonna contribute money to this big thing to see one band I like while some of that money goes to one I explicitly do not like and do not approve of.
Sure.
So I would rather avoid all that together and, as they say, vote with my dollars elsewhere.
There you go.
Yeah, Metal Sucks, though they went about it in a horrifically ham-fisted way, tried to kind of, they tried to kind of approach us a while ago with basically a call to boycott Hell's Headbangers, and it's a shame because, like, there are so many cool bands. Like, they put out a lot of fucking material. They put out a lot of fucking bands that have nothing to do with, like, you know, Grand Belial's Key or Intolitarian or any of that bullshit. So it's sketchy, you know. It's I would say that, like, if you had a band that's fit that kind of profile of something that would work with them, maybe try to shop around to a couple other places first. I don't know what to do about that. You touched on it just briefly, but I decided to check out at one of our our listeners' recommendations, the Hell's Headbangers podcast last week. And whoo boy, if you guys like FM radio, loud talking tough guy bullshit with a dose of like racism and also homophobia, like that's the podcast for you, bro.
And defending pedophilia.
Well, let's start, I guess, at the beginning, because we need to at least briefly mention the show is hosted, it's two hosts, The Reaper and J-Dog, and the episode that I listened to in the first couple of minutes, J-Dog lamented that somebody was using his nickname. I don't know if you guys have ever met a J-Dog.
J-Dog.
No one has ever called me J-Dog ironically either.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like I've been called J-Dog, and I don't have a J anywhere in my name. So
I have been called J-Dog as well. I've also hung around a muffler shop where I've met a dozen J-Dogs. It's
my younger brother literally calls me B-Dog. It's just what he calls me. It's what fucking anyone with a name with a letter gets called by anybody.
I'm gonna try an experiment real quick. I'm gonna type in J-Dog into SoundCloud. And, shit.
Luck. Good luck.
All right, there's JDog24292398949, JDog Official, JDog Tony Reaper, JDog Ride on Fours, JDog127, Head Up JDog, JDog Wasted, JDog Married to the Game, JDog I Can Feel It, I Like It JDog DJ. This is the first results alone. JDog, will you please stand up?
Can you somehow capture the hyperlink of that search result and send it to this guy of the podcast?
And to be clear, it's D-A-W-G, Doug,
yeah, no,
right?
I typed in J-D-A-W-G. I'm not about that nonsense. J-D-O-G. What the fuck is that?
D-O-double-G.
Well, you can't do that. You can't do that.
No. It's not cool. It's just... And that's ripping something off.
So there's a couple of J-Dogs out there just to... clarify. Anyway.
Named Joe, Jason, Josh, Jim, Jordan, and
Jared.
Jack. We can move on, I think. But
no, let's think of some more J names. I think the audience loves this.
Yes, this is what you sign up for. Star hit play. Jeremiah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Jackson.
Johannesburg.
That's a place.
It could also be a name.
It's a noun, but it's not a name.
But
you can call it J-Dog City.
It's like Geoff, right? The dumb British spelling for Jeff.
Geoff. That's a G. So it's G-Dog. but don't take that name. That's mine.
That's an
now.
Entirely different guy. Don't get G-Dog messed up with J-Dog.
Yeah, G-Dog is fine. It's not a ripoff. It's G-Dog.
Okay.
What else? So Hell's Head. This podcast sucks. Right?
Yeah. No, so it's awful. I hate listening to the entire thing. It was like an hour and a half, which is unconscionable. Like unless your podcast is really fucking good with lots of riffs on J names. Like, you don't have the clout to put up an hour and a half.
That must have been like Daniel from DMU listening to us.
Daniel, please come back. We need you to transcribe our shows for us.
Yeah. We miss you. We miss you, buddy.
Not to get too far off track, but I checked Death Metal Underground recently because we got... Well, Jordan, you saw a Google alert and that they were... they had our names in their mouths again, so I checked it out. It looks like all of their writing staff has been replaced by, as far as I can tell, 13-year-old kids that like huffing glue and going on 4chan.org/Paul. That would be the racist politics channel, because it's nothing but that, which is somehow a downgrade from what came before it, which was pretty rough as it was.
Yeah.
Daniel, sorry you got deported. Come guest on the show sometime. We'll talk about this radical displacement.
Yeah, see if you can get a computer access at the ICE agency that you're being called.
It's ironic
because
you're white.
He's at a black site.
Yeah, no, so in between Reaper and the J-Dog mentioning...
So funny.
Just saying metal bands that they had heard of back and forth for a while. Eventually, they got into a discussion. Seriously, that's what they did for the first 30 minutes. Eventually, they got into a discussion.
Oh, Metallica.
It's not even just mentioning. Do you, like, yell at each other? It's so loud. And it's like, fucking Slayer. Fucking Metallica, bro.
They also decried, in their words, new metal fags infecting the scene, which, again, the year... The current year that we are in is 2018, and nu metal has been effectively dead for about 17 years.
Yeah, the year of our Lord is 2018. It's been literally 20 years since nu metal. Literally. Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. I too am stuck in the past. But I try my best. Anyway.
Yeah, but I'm stuck in the past where I think, like, Coheed and Cambria isn't dad rock. And then when someone tells me, I get real upset. And then I see my gray hairs and I go, oh.
And then you realize your back hurts for no reason.
Yeah, I realize I'm dying slowly and feel the mortality of this shell.
And then you listen to
Death Cab. Operate. Yeah. Or Coheed and Cambria.
I see in my age cohort around town with Coheed and Cambria tattoos.
That's right.
The guy that used to live next to me at my old apartment complex, he had a full sleeve devoted to Coheed and Cambria. And he would sit on his porch and smoke cigarettes and tell me about chemtrails. It was dope.
Sick, because no one's ever thought of a triangle and a circle before. You know it's their logo.
Anyway, I digress. The real crux of this latest episode of the show that I checked out, and I will probably always listen to more, was a rabid defense of the band Inquisition, which we had mentioned, I believe, on our previous episode. In that Dagon is a rock spider, if y'all didn't know. Rock spider, that's another term taken from our friends across the sea in Australia. What is a rock spider? He's a creep that's always trying to get into small holes. What I'm trying to say is he's a pedophile, folks.
Yeah.
So
as opposed to rock lobster.
A rock lobster, which is just the worst B-52 song.
Yeah. Anyway, not much different. I don't know what that means.
It essentially devolved around desperate defenses, like, maybe he didn't do this. Like, we don't have all the details. You don't have all the details. It's not okay to cast aspersions on somebody if they haven't been sentenced guilty in a criminal trial in front of everybody. And also, you know, the most galling thing was mentioning Damien Eccles. Are you guys familiar with that guy at all?
The West Memphis Three.
The West Memphis Three, exactly. Damien Eccles, along with two other guys, three teenagers who were tried and convicted in the early 90s of murder. What they had in common is that they were all three, like, metal dudes in this small town that was extremely suspicious of them. And it was a kangaroo court. It was total bullshit, fake evidence all throughout. Basically, these people were thrown in prison and you know, wrongfully convicted for shit. He was there for more than 20 years before he was finally released. And shit. I find it incredibly offensive to my core that your mark of comparison would be this man that was robbed of two decades of his life, wrongfully convicted in prison. Of a guy who was basically cited and pled down to minor charges relating to child porn and then quickly swept it under the rug as fast as he could. You know, that dude never spent a fucking minute in prison.
So. These fucking chuds, man. They go top shelf for their comparisons. Like, shit, this is just way out there. Like, they love to say that the stuff that we're doing censoring black metal, which we're not, but we're just not going to the shows and we're telling venues, hey, don't do that. That's literally all we're fucking doing, and it's enough. But they're like, oh, you're no better than the Tipper Gore crew and whatever parents association tried to get parental advisories on all the CDs and just stop music from. And it's like, dude, they were trying to limit shit that's cool and fun, like sex and drugs. And I mean, that's it, really. Those are only two things that are cool. But, you know, fascism is a little different, I think.
Yeah,
right?
No, I mean, we don't actually engage in fascism. You know, we're not trying to Number one, we're not the government.
We're not
throwing people in jail for their crimes. We're not using force to beat down our enemies yet. We will one day. I'm working on getting swoller, you guys. One
right.
day.
And it's like that whole thing was backed by government. So it was very fucking different. Like, we don't do any, like, people on the left hardly do any shit backed by government. That's like the whole point of what we do, is we use free speech and we use the free market to fucking take down shit we think deserves to get taken down. You know, it's a bitch move, is going to the government, like voting in laws to stop people from doing stuff.
And just for people that, you know, might not be super familiar with thinking the left is some kind of all inclusive conglomerate. I mean,
it's not. I mean,
you've seen your political grid of your authoritarian versus libertarian left and right. You know,
yeah, and all the memes associated with it.
Right, of course. And it really, the ideal, in my opinion, is a libertarian left future, which is, you know, egalitarian, free of basically force, and also, you know, free of you know, capitalism. But that's an entirely different deal.
And yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah. Jordan, you listen to a bit of this podcast. Do you have any thoughts on it especially?
Well, when you say a bit, I mean, like, I listened to about 30 seconds, and it just was so grating. And well,
you respect yourself more than I respect myself.
Yeah, I mean, hate listening or hate watching or doing anything you don't want to do is just not good for your health. It's bad for your heart. It's bad for your head. It's bad for your soul. And I don't even believe in the soul, but it's bad for it.
I can't find David Hall on Twitter anymore, and I've been trying really hard, but ever since I have stopped seeing any of his tweets, my life has been so much better, you guys.
I muted him like a while ago.
Yeah, but he's gone. Like, he's just gone. I don't know if the leftists won and he just had enough, but he was like my favorite hate follow. I would just fantasize for just hours about what I would say to him to take him down and any stupid shit thing he said, because he's the dumbest person with, you know, some grammatical correctness I think I've ever dealt with in my vision. But it's too bad he's gone. I can't do it now. It's too late. But now my life's better and I'm moving on and getting healthy and eating better. So instead of just chowing on M&Ms and going, pizza hate follows.
I'm on a betterment mission, you guys. I'm trying to eat healthier. I'm trying to get way swoller, you know. Yeah. I think that's what is that, self-care, where you get really fucking swole.
Yeah, I think that's just delaying the inevitable.
Right, just death. Just our mortal
death comes for us all. You get swole and you get to live for an extra 2 weeks. Cool.
Well, getting swole isn't necessarily healthy for you.
Yeah, actually. No. I'm not like doing cardio. I'm not doing anything good for my heart.
Rubber cement into your biceps.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to live hard and leave behind a big as fuck carcass.
Yeah, it's like I hear about dudes who get all sorts of injuries weightlifting. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, isn't the point? I get the point is not to be healthy. It's not. It's so far from the point. The point is a complete vanity project, which in a way is self-care. If you feel good about yourself, you know, I get it. But Jesus, you know, I see some of the threads guys get into when they're on their swole journey, on their swole goals, if you will.
We talk about toxic environments in metal all the time. And I don't know if you guys have ever spent any time on the bodybuilding forums.
I have spent a lot of time there. Again, the hate watching and hate reading is not good for you.
I have spent way too much of my life on especially the miscellaneous forum in bodybuilding, which is just like a hair above 4chan.
Yeah, it's really stupid.
The nuclear war now forums. It's all the same flavor of the same shit. You've got a lot of young dudes who don't know shit from Shinola who are extremely positive that they know what they're talking about, and you don't know a thing.
I had a guy tell me that rest days are a waste of time, and the same guy then, because I was trying to tell people like what I do to work out because I lost 50 pounds. I was proud of myself. I was talking to some other fat guys on the forum, just kind of supportive, and he said, you know, rest days are a waste of time. If you want to lose weight, it's all in the kitchen. You're never going to lose weight in the gym ever. Cardio works out nothing except your heart. And I said, hey, you know those two things that you use to run? What are those called? And I don't think I've ever seen anyone get so nuclear pissed.
I just online. Hope this guy is built like a garbage can.
He's such a like CrossFit swole asshole. Like he was such a big, stupid pile of meat, like a neck with ears. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna at least I'm pushing up my glasses right now. Actually, CrossFit focuses quite a bit on cardio wellness as well. You're probably looking more for powerlifting.
Probably, but CrossFit is also stupid and bad for you, and it's a way to rip your joints and everything else. So
jump on the box, jump off the box, jump on the box.
That's right. I love watching videos of CrossFit fails. Just people horrifically injuring themselves. I guess that's a pretty fucked up thing to enjoy watching, but we're all a little bit problematic in some way, I guess.
We should do like a mosh exercise video, except good, because I've seen them before and they're bad, but we should make like a good one with know-how for the scene. Like it's could be our big toad of hell video breakthrough, is that we or break into video.
Yeah, my goal is to make one of those videos that people I haven't seen in 6 years will tag me on Facebook after I've seen it 7,000 times, like the brushing the teeth while metal video.
It's tough being like the one metalhead that non-metalheads know, because you get that all the time. It's like, yes, I know, I've seen it, thank you.
I've moved all my non-metal friends out of my life. They're all gone. I just can't deal with the toxicity of non-metal culture anymore.
We get it. You have kids. You had a wedding. Cool. No one cares.
Yeah, there's... did you hear about the new Death Heaven, though?
Did you hear about the singer from American Head Charge getting arrested?
Damn.
Oh.
That's your realm, dude.
Great. Thanks.
Tell me what happened.
So the vocalist for American Head Charge, Cameron Heacock, who that's his name. I do not judge.
I believe you.
who has had some run-ins in the past, mostly due to drug-related issues, was arrested last week in Costa Mesa, California, while driving an allegedly stolen van full of stolen gear, including over a dozen stolen guitars, nine of which were lifted from a guitar center. A stolen motorbike and more stolen items were also found in the van. This is from the PRP, by the way.
I love that this guy, he's obviously in his 40s, right? Did exactly what I daydreamed of doing when I was 15. Like, oh shit, I'm going to rob a fucking guitar center, and then I'm going to rob a fucking motorcycle.
And then just keep all my guitars on my motorcycle as I get away.
We're playing as you drive down the highway.
Yeah, shredding while running from the cops on your motorcycle.
Yeah, with big biceps.
Standing on top of
with lots of ladies feeling your muscles.
Yeah, right. With a big titty goth girlfriend.
Big titty goth girlfriends on either muscly shoulder while shredding some licks.
And a beer.
And a beer
on top
that
of
I bought.
Skateboard with Tony
a beer
Hawk.
I bought myself.
And a pizza.
Right.
Well, God bless him, man.
And chocolate whenever I want.
You know, it just shows
ice cream
that you're
for breakfast.
You're never too old to really be youthful. So
never too old to appreciate big titty goth GFs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am now. I'm on the noble path of the Volcel, my power.
Yeah.
I'm saving all that power and devoting it to nobler causes.
Like relationship or something?
No, like getting really fucking jacked. Like, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Man. You get jacked so then you could lift up, the big titty goth girlfriends with each arm.
Well, first you get the money, then you get the muscles, then you get the big titty goth girlfriend.
I think a pile of sugar is somewhere in that equation, right?
Yeah, something like that. Possibly cocaine. I don't know.
Somehow this is sexist and wrong, but somehow it's so right.
Well,
but
We can yeah, continue, man, like, to be problematic, or we can change the subject. It's up to you, man.
We can. You gotta use
your moral compass.
No. This is the main. This is the main event of the show. We have to stick to it. So, it's just the one thing that metalheads and SoundCloud rappers can agree upon is goth girls. So, like, my favorite meme is just like the two warring ninjas just shaking hands, and like one of the warring ninjas is metalheads. One of the other warring ninja is, you know, SoundCloud rappers, and their handshake is goth girls.
Is that where it came from, SoundCloud rappers?
What you're specifically talking about, I think so. I think there's probably a song. I don't, because
it just seems so weird.
Because we on the harsher side of alternative music and culture, that's just ladies to us, you know. But they have to specifically mention that they're goths. And it's like, I don't think I've ever actually met a literal goth girl. There's all sorts of alternative ladies. You got, you know, scene chicks, goth chicks, metal chicks.
Renaissance fair chicks.
Renaissance fair chicks. Yeah. Grindcore chicks.
Rockabilly chicks.
Yeah. You got eco goth, fit goth chicks.
Skiffle chicks.
Yeah. Wow.
Trap chicks.
Polka
chicks.
Polka chicks, sure. Yeah. That's very alternative.
Yeah.
Chicks.
Zydeco chicks.
Hardcore
chicks, and then the mixture of the two, you got Zydecore chicks.
Right, but when we say hardcore, we're talking about, you know, the scene.
Right.
Not hardcore scenes, yeah, but the hardcore scene.
You got slam poetry chicks.
OTEP.
Those are my... Yeah.
That's just OTEP.
Just specifically OTEP.
So all of this, so this meme comes from SoundCloud rappers, so it's like, I guess, the opposite of what they are. It's like putting it on a pedestal, something like unachievable. I'm just kind of...
Yes,
I want to
dissect. I think so because it's something that a SoundCloud rapper really wants but can never really have. I mean, maybe that's not true.
It sounds like it's true, and it sounds poetic, so I'm okay with it.
I have no idea. I don't fucking get youth culture anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. It's just a... pretty much every meme you see these days is like written in high school of somebody. So when we in our 30s try to grasp it, it's really sad. It's just not, there's no point. Cause it's like back when we were kids, we still had, you know, young goth women with that were perhaps busty or not. Not that that matters, but, so I guess their appreciation kind of transcends generations.
We're going to get so many angry emails.
Yeah, and we deserve them too. Like, we absolutely deserve these angry emails.
Oh, we had such a good run.
We had zero good runs. And we will get zero angry emails as a result. That's same true. 350 dudes are just going to be like, you know, sharing memes in the comments below about what we're talking about. And then we'll be fine for the next episode. I'm telling you guys, we'll be there. We still love you. We're just kidding.
Yeah, well, we have to come back for the next episode to talk about how our buddy Robbie J. Fonts from Stuck Mojo now has a new band.
Fuck, I forgot.
What happened? He started a new band?
That's pretty much it for the news.
That's it. That's all. Okay, we covered.
Yeah,
does it kick ass?
I don't think they have music. I don't want to listen to it. I think Stuck Mojo doesn't do anything because two of the guys are too busy being in... Chris Jericho's band Fozzy making, you know, top 100 stripper music.
Sick. Does he own the libs as much as he used to?
Top 100 strippers, or is that like top 100 Billboard for
strippers? Top 100 songs for strippers to dance to. And that's not actually a joke. I do remember Chris Jericho mentioning on his podcast how one of their songs, at least a couple years ago, was like on some sort of playlist for like top 10.
I wonder if Motley Crue is on there. I can only imagine. It's fucking stupid. It sounds like a stupid list.
It is.
Yeah. We got to go over it. Next show, we'll go over it.
Yeah, well, everybody, you guys go out to a strip club and report back on what you hear.
Let us know if there are any big titty goth women there.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm going to not do that. I'm going to stay home like normal. Yeah. But you guys go out and let me know what you hear, what you see. If you throw up anywhere fun.
Did we learn anything?
No, absolutely. If anything, we got fucking dumber on this episode. Shit.
This is probably our dumbest episode. But
this is our worst episode.
No, it's not. It's our best episode.
You remember the early episodes. Those are really bad.
Yeah. Okay. As far as I'm concerned, this show didn't exist before, like, episode 50.
Yeah, man, but it's like, the last 20 minutes is probably 20 minutes over the hour, right? So you can give or take it. If you really think it's that stupid, we could save it for bonus content.
Yeah. That's fine.
Nah, I'm going to put it
on. Or just keep it. Do it.
All right. We are at 1 hour exactly, so...
Oh, never mind. Oops.
Well, goodbye, everybody.
We love you. Stay metal. You're awesome. Follow Jordan, 365 Days of Horror, and the Twitter. So you would at that. Follow Joe Thrash and Kill on Twitter. Follow That's Not Metal. That's me. That's your Uncle Bren. And, of course, subscribe to our Patreon if you liked what you listened to today. And you get bonus content. You get more of this excellent top-shelf goodness.
Wow. What a fucking sell.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. See you next time.
Stay metal, bros.
Sorry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.